Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. We are live, and this is Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Chris Meany. Thanks for taking the time to be with me today. And finally, we're going to get to some NASCAR, and we have one of the best, if not the best in the business, honestly. Nick Giffen from RotoViz is going to join us. He is the Roto Doc, and quickly here, how awesome he has been at DFS NASCAR. He's a two-time qualifier for the DraftKings NASCAR main event. He plays first, third, fourth, fifth, and seventh in the 125K DFS tournament, the Clash of Daytona. We will be talking Daytona 500 that 1 year after placing first, second, and third in the same event. Honestly, this guy is fantastic. We'll talk about that. They have a new wicked tool, DFS tool, at RotoViz as well. So we'll talk about all of that. Greg Ambrosius, we're going to continue high stakes week. He was involved in an auction last night. We'll talk about JD Martinez. It's Josh Donaldson. Josh Donaldson, where he went, he's falling down draft boards. And plus, we'll get into Max Scherzer, and this is where we're going to start right now. Max Scherzer cannot use his fastball grip without pain. That is concerning. Last year, towards the end of the season, he was dealing with a knuckle fracture. So he is actually scheduled to throw a bullpen session this weekend, though. So I'm sure we'll hear more news about the finger. And he's not even slated in as the opening day starter right now. There are some question marks with that. Well, I'll talk to Dr. A from Inside Injuries on Monday about this as well, from just like a doctor's point of view. But with Greg, we'll talk about how far he's falling in terms of auction and just regular drafts, if he's worried about him as well. So we'll talk about that. Yesterday, NBA trade deadline, it was kind of quiet. A couple days ago, we talked about Willie Cauley-Stein. Certainly yesterday on this program, we talked about him being a must-play last night in DFS. A career-high 29 points from him yesterday. As his Kings, they won. They beat the Nuggets, 116-100. Willie Cauley-Stein, he had 29 points, as I mentioned. He also had 10 boards. He was pretty good last night. And you know what? His price will continue to rise. He was just a steal, under $4,000 on DraftKings and on FanDuel last night. So he had a really good game. So keep an eye on him and the Kings. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but Denver's a team they're chasing, and they won that game yesterday, so that's a really good start for him. Kristaps Porzingis left the game with an ankle sprain in a walking boot as his Knicks lost to the Cavs last night. Surprise, surprise. I wouldn't be shocked if the Knicks kind of just be cautious with Porzingis. He's been dealing with injuries, I want to say, not just all year, even last year towards the end of the season, he dealt with some injuries. So he could miss some time, as you see there. Keep an eye on this situation. He actually could become just a drop for you in seasonal formats. Certainly in 10-man leagues, you can't waste your time. With fantasy basketball playoffs just right around the corner, you can't waste your time. With Porzingis on the sidelines, you need to get some points here. And some bad news for Ben Simmons as he's done for the season. You know, there were some reports that he would return after the All-Star break, and, you know, Philadelphia had said he's going to play at some point. Well, CT scan did not show good news on the foot injury, so he's going to be done for the rest of the season. So last year's first overall pick, we're not even going to get to see him. Just got to trust the process, I guess, in Philadelphia. So keep an eye on that situation. Let's move over to hockey. Chris Letang, we joked yesterday. I say joke. You never want to say that guys are going to get hurt, but Chris Letang is always hurt. This guy is always hurt. So Trevor Daley is out 6 weeks with a knee injury. He had successful surgery. Chris Letang is day-to-day. We talked about how Pittsburgh's going to need to make some moves because Ole Matta is also sidelined, and Chris Letang can't play all these minutes down the stretch. And, you know, as you see there, he's already missed 18 games. So just a frustrating guy to roster in fantasy. I would never, ever, ever draft him because of this situation. But what does it mean for Pittsburgh? Maybe they make another move. But Justin Schultz, there's some good news with Justin Schultz, as he returned to practice yesterday in a contact jersey. So it looks like he could return this weekend. If he does miss some time, I actually do think Ron Hainsey, in a deep league, in formats where they count salary caps because he makes next to nothing, he could actually help you out. I think he does have some offensive upside to him if they let him go that way. And Justin Schultz was a pretty negative player as well. And you know what? He turned out all right in Pittsburgh. They got some the right pieces in place to make Ron Hainsey a decent play. And we'll just see going forward if he can do that. Philip Forsberg. Philip Forsberg had 2 goals in his first 27 games. Now he's got 6 goals in his last 2 games. Back-to-back games with a hat trick. A couple nights ago, he had 3 in the second period. Almost a natural hat trick. Colin Wilson stepped in and scored a goal in between those goals. But last night, he had a natural hat trick, and it all came in the third period. We talked about Nashville and stacking them with Mike Omelin yesterday against the Colorado Avalanche. This is proof. He was like 65% owned in a contest that I was in last night. So continue to ride this guy out. Remember when he was traded for Martin Erat? How'd that work out for you? Imagine Philip Forsberg playing with the Washington Capitals right now. It'd just be unbelievable. All right, we're done. Enough of me. Let's talk to Nick Giffen. He's the Roto Doc from RotoViz, and he has all the goods. Daytona 500, we're talking DFS NASCAR around the corner. Stick around. Fantasy Sports Today will continue right here on Fantasy Sports Network. Network Studios. I'm Chris Meany. This is FST, and we are live coming at you from Toronto. Let's talk DFS NASCAR. I said earlier that we would finally be able to talk some NASCAR, and there's no better guy, in my opinion, than Nick Giffen from RotoViz. We got the Roto Doc in here. Nick, welcome. Love that you're back to talk some NASCAR, man. But congratulations again. A big-time GPP winner from you last week, and this is the second year in a row you've done this, man. This is a great start for you to the season.
Yeah, that was a big sweat, and I got, you know, you have to put yourself in position to be lucky, but I definitely got lucky that Denny Hamlin and Brad Keselowski wrecked each other in the last lap. That launched me from, a good day to an insane day for the second year in a row. That was kind of fun.
Dude, you got quite the resume, and I said this off the top. Two-time qualifier for DraftKings NASCAR main event. Placed first, third, fourth, fifth, and seventh in the 125K DFS tournament at the Clash of Daytona. 1 year after placing first, second, and third in the same event. But you're talking about some luck. You had some bad luck because last year, correct me if I'm wrong, Daytona 500, this time last year, you were in first place heading into the last lap. You end up coming eighth, though.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. You know, I knew it was going to happen. I went in the last lap, and I was in the lead, and I had my DraftKings app right there, and I was actually at the race in Denny Hamlin's pit. And a couple drivers, Jimmy Johnson lost a couple positions. Eric Almirola picked up a couple positions. So I fell from first to eighth. Malin 21, he of winning two DraftKings Millionaire Makers in NFL, won the Daytona 500 slate last year.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. So you guys are doing some wicked stuff at RotoViz. Just talk about the NASCAR DFS lineup optimizers, some customizing exposures, some projections. Just talk about that. And, you know, for people who are just new to playing DFS NASCAR, and you've seen this grow. Last year, this time when I talked to you, you were talking about the growth. Just talk about what people can expect when they check out your website.
Yeah, so over at RotoViz, we have a bunch of new NASCAR content. As always, I give my picks and model projections. I'm a math person, so I have a statistical model that builds projections. And then I give my picks. Our NASCAR DFS lineup optimizer lets you enter up to 150 lineups, which is the maximum DraftKings allows. And you can set custom exposures. Do I want Jimmy Johnson between 10 and 20% or 40 and 50%? And you can update the projections to be your own custom projections, and then you can export it right to a DraftKings CSV file. We've got a bunch of other different apps there and podcasts, so a lot of fun stuff at RotoViz for NASCAR.
A PhD in mathematics is probably the most impressive thing on your resume that we really didn't talk about. Okay, let's talk about strategy. If people, again, if they're just new to playing, how do you treat this weekend's race, which is happening on Sunday, and how do you treat some of these top dogs? Dale Earnhardt Jr., of course, the most expensive on DraftKings.
Yeah, so for general strategy, the main thing with restrictor plates is drivers can almost finish anywhere. It doesn't matter where they start. Almost every driver can finish in almost every position, so that means it's a pretty random race, and so you want to take benefit of that. Drivers starting in the back will come forward, and one of the main ways to score points on DraftKings is with place differential, which is starting position minus finishing position. So if you start 30th, finish 10th, you get 20 points for that, plus you get points for finishing in 10th. So that's the best strategy to use, is four or five drivers coming from the back in most of your lineups. Cash games, I'd use all five or even six drivers. In GPPs, you can maybe get away with two being a little bit earlier in the starting lineup. As far as Dale Jr., he's definitely the favorite. He is, I think, about plus 450 in Vegas, so 4.5 to 1. And then there's also Denny Hamlin and Brad Keselowski. Those are the three drivers that I think are the favorites. Dale Earnhardt Jr., multiple-time Daytona 500 winner, the best restrictor plate racer in NASCAR. He's coming off a concussion, so we'll have to see. But he looked pretty solid in his qualifying race last night. He won it, he almost won it before a little problem at the end there. Denny Hamlin was instead the winner of that qualifying race, and he's won qualifying races in three of the last 5 years now. So he's very strong at Daytona, defending Daytona 500 champion. And finally, Brad Keselowski. The Team Penske cars have been very, very strong, and they've actually won the last three NASCAR restrictor plate races that are full points paying races. Keselowski's won one, Joey Logano two. But Keselowski, I think, has been the better Penske car so far this week. So that's why I'd give him the nod over his teammate.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about guys at the top. So does that make you, are you a little bit down on Chase Elliott, who has, got the pole here?
Yeah, I think I'm not like down on him. He's just really hard to play from a DFS perspective, because the only way he's going to be in the winning lineup for DraftKings is if he wins the race and leads a chunk of laps. If he falls backward any and doesn't lead a chunk of laps, then he's not going to be in the winning lineup, because you'll get that negative place differential. It's going to be much easier for a driver coming from 30th finishing 10th to outscore him than from him going enough, even from first to fifth and not leading enough laps. So Chase Elliott is a great driver, and he did win his qualifying race this year, but it's going to take a pretty dominant performance from the pole sitter to be in the winning lineup.
Yeah, the fifth in history to win consecutive Daytona 500 poles. Pretty impressive stuff. So is anybody, what you saw from last night, did anybody get into a nice spot where you're like, okay, well, now I'm going to play them this weekend?
Yeah, so Martin Truex Jr., he finished runner-up to Denny Hamlin last year. He finished 0.01 seconds behind Hamlin. It was a crazy finish. Well, he failed inspection from his qualifying race, so he got relegated to the back of the field. So that's great. You've got a driver who is just awesome, can come from the back to the front. One of the best drivers in NASCAR over the past year and a half, 2 years. He's a must-start in cash games, as is Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney is starting back there as well in the 30s, mid-30s. So Ryan Blaney is a Penske affiliate driver. So he's associated with Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski. And he almost won his qualifier race before some contact there at the end. I think Ryan Blaney is, if you're a better, and I know this isn't betting advice, but I would strongly look at playing $10 on him. Finally, Paul Menard also starts back there. Paul Menard is known for a very low DNF rate at restrictor plates, and because restrictor plates are just mayhem, he just has this knack for avoiding the mayhem, probably part luck, but probably he also knows when things are starting to get crazy and knows where to position himself. He starts in the back as well, should make his way forward. Those three are great cash game plays.
We have a few viewers who like to sprinkle a little bit on the bet. So you're all right to mention that for sure. Okay, you mentioned some cash plays. What about some GPPs? What about some guys? Is there anybody here in like the $6,000 range that's worth playing?
Yeah, so I've got two drivers here in the $6,000 range. The first is Elliott Sadler. Elliott Sadler is a NASCAR veteran, but he hasn't raced in the top series in several years. But he's filling in this race at Tommy Baldwin Racing, so he's got a good car. Not the best car, but he's got a good car, and in the draft it kind of equalizes things, and Elliott Sadler has always been a very strong restrictor plate driver, so I like him. Landon Castle also in the 6,000s, starting a little bit further forward in the back half of the 20s. Landon Castle has five top 15 finishes at restrictor plate races in his career, so nice value there with him as well.
I love the trash talk already. These are two guys who are just racing for the first time. Corey LaJoy, I don't know if you caught yesterday's comments in Sorensen. I see you smiling there. I'm sure he wasn't happy. He's going to be drinking martinis on the beach Sunday. Well, I'll be racing at the Daytona Beach on Sunday, Daytona race. That's just fantastic stuff. Is there anything? I know we have some Canadian watchers. Is there anything here for DJ Kennington? What do you expect from this 39-year-old Canadian vet? Nothing?
I wouldn't really mind him if he started further back. He was a little bit racy in his qualifier, but starting 28th, I think, is a little too far forward for him. So he's a guy, if you're building 100 lineups, you probably only want to have about 2 to 5% of them tops.
That's fair. Nick, unfortunately, man, we're out of time, but I look forward to, you know, not only watching this race, but talking to you throughout the year. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on, guys, and I'm just glad Daytona's back.
Yeah, me too. Enjoy the race, and good luck. I'm sure you're going to be pretty successful. For those who don't follow Nick, as you see there, RotoDoc on Twitter, give him a follow. Check out all the work on RotoViz. Some fantastic stuff there. So thank you so much, Nick Giffen, right there. We're going to switch gears. We're going to talk some baseball. There was an auction last night. High stakes. Greg Ambrosius is in here next. We'll talk about Josh Donaldson and Max Scherzer. Should you be worried about those guys? You might want to be. PC founder Greg Ambrosius in here next to talk some fantasy baseball. Greg was a part of an auction last night, so he's going to share some of the thoughts, some of the details. Greg, welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. How's it going, man?
Great. Baseball's right here, isn't it? So really excited about it.
It really is right here. And for those who are new to auctions, and we'll get into some of, you know, where people went at the price points and your strategy as well, but that's kind of what I want to talk to you about off the top. For those who are new in auctions, what kind of advice can you give them? Should they have a sheet of paper with names that they want and the price that they're willing to pay for them? How do you go about this and tell people who are just first-timers in this strategy?
Yeah, you know what? Auctions are really, really popular in the NFBC right now. They're just we have 15-team mixed auctions. So $260 to build your 23 starters, and it is tough. I mean, most people go with a 70%, 30% split between hitting and pitching, which leaves you about $80 to $90 for pitching. And when you think about it, 1,400 strikeouts you're trying to get, you're also trying to get some closers. It's very, very difficult to build a good pitching staff. But that's the fun about this puzzle, trying to put that great roster together with everybody bidding. I mean, it's 345 players that you're bidding on, and I'm telling you what, it's so intense because every player, you're thinking if you want them or not, you know, and you're going through your notes, how much should you spend on them. It's really an intense 5 hours of baseball.
And that's what I tell people who haven't done an auction. It's fun. I mean, realistically, you can get who you want to get. You'll have to pay up for them, but you really have to put in the right mindset because it can be long. So when you go about, like, putting a player up for nomination, when you nominate a player, are you nominating someone you want or are you nominating someone you don't want and you just want the whole field to just go ahead and spend? Is that how you go about things?
Well, early on, I do throw out players that I don't want. I want to get as much money out as possible from these guys. I want them to spend $40 per player. So I do nominate players that I don't want early on. Later on, if I do have most of the money or if I'm, you know, in a good position, if I know I need to target a certain player, I do nominate them and go right after them.
So let's talk about some of the top dogs, Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Clayton Kershaw. How much did they go for, and was it a fair price?
Well, it was very interesting. We knew that they'd go for over $40, but Mike Trout was the first guy I threw out there. I wanted to see what the bar was going to be, and he went for $46. So very interesting. Then Kershaw went out shortly after him, and he went for $44. Now, the interesting thing about Kershaw is he really went 25% higher than the next starting pitcher. I mean, wow. Bumgarner went for $33. Syndergaard went for $32, Scherzer went for $31, Kluber went for $30, but Kershaw at $44 was way out there. But then you also had Mookie Betts at $40, Arenado at $40, Harper went for $38. Harper's an interesting one because everyone's kind of laying low, saying, yeah, I want him to pick him at 12, you know, but everybody really does think he's going to bounce back this year. So he seems to be going higher in some of the drafts I've been seeing, and $38 was a high price for him. I got Altuve for $37.
Wow.
Chris Bryant also went for $37. So pretty interesting numbers there.
Do you suggest for people to go out and pay for some of these? Like you just mentioned $44 for Scherzer, and then just the big drop-off from Bumgarner. Do you suggest people going after a Trout for the first time they're playing, a Trout or a Scherzer, or Kershaw, or just let, you know, those people pay up for those guys and then kind of just pay down for, you know, still – supreme talent.
If I was a first-time player, I don't think I'd go that way. It's very tough to build your team after that. You got to be astute. You got to know who you want at $2 and $3 type players. You know, really, this is how I look at it. I try to get a first-round pick and a second-round pick and a third-round pick. And when I look at the auction values, that really means a first-round pick is going to be $37 to $40. A second-round pick is going to be in the $30 range. A third-round pick seemed to be going for about $25. So I was really kind of looking at that, and I knew that I was going to spend about $95 on my first three picks. That's a lot of money out of $260, but you also don't want to have no first-rounder or second-rounder. So everybody does it differently, but I don't like to be left without one of those top stars.
Yeah, you mentioned Scherzer going for $31. He's really falling down draft boards lately. Touch on him, and are you worried about him?
Well, you know what? I am a little worried about that finger injury. It's on his pitching hand, and we had Dr. A on our show the other morning, night, and he said he's worried about this being a lingering thing. So he went for $31. He's been a top 10 pick in the NFBC, but this week he went between 12 and 18. So, I mean, he is starting to drop a little bit. I think fantasy owners are concerned about that injury.
Yeah, we're going to have Dr. A on Monday, and I know talking to him last week, he – you know, was a little bit concerned as well with that injury.
Yep.
And certainly, you know, he's going to throw a bullpen session expected to this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. But not having the proper grip on his fastball is definitely concerning. How did you go about your pitching? Because you said pitching was tough. Did you end up punting closer position a little bit, or how did you go about that?
Oh, I was so close to doing that. I mean, I was so late in the draft, I'm just like, I just can't afford saves anymore. I mean, I started out with Hamels at 19, and I got Carlos Carrasco at 24. That was higher than I wanted, but I got two good aces, I thought, up there. Then I got Marcus Stroman for 15, Drew Smyly for 8. And then I did end up going for closers, but real cheap ones. I got Tony Watson at 7, and then I went for the Reds closers. I got Iglesias at 6 and Drew Storen at 1. So I just couldn't avoid punting the saves, but I'd like to just be middle of pack. I didn't want to spend too much on them. Chapman went for 22. Kenley Jansen went for 21. So most other ones went between 15 and 18. So there were no bargains to be had for closers.
I like Storen at $1. I think it's worth a shot. Why not? You know, you touched on Scherzer, injury, falling down draft boards. What about Josh Donaldson? What did he go for last night?
Yeah, you know what? That calf injury is also starting to be worrisome for people. And Dr. A said the same thing. I mean, how many times have we heard, oh, he suffered that ankle injury in spring training and was never the same? And, you know, Donaldson only went for $31. I mean, before the injury, he certainly would have been a $37, $38 player. Same in the NFBC. He's been top 10 all offseason, but now he's like 12 to 15. In fact, the other night he went 19th. So
wow.
I really do think fantasy owners are concerned with that injury. It may be okay. He may be off crutches soon, but I think it's a lingering injury that we have to be concerned about.
So you're concerned with him? If he was to fall down to 15, 18, is that someone you're jumping on? Or is that somebody
sure.
You're just like, no, I mean, I just don't want to deal with this all year?
No, I would take him at that spot. I mean, then you've got a lot of upside. And that's with every pick. We're trying to get upside value. His ceiling would be so high you just couldn't afford to pass on him. But the fact that he was in a boot and on crutches the other day is kind of scary.
Yeah, it is really scary. Just to see him, you know, ditch the crutches and just limp over to do an interview is certainly concerning for sure. You drafted Stanton at 20. You had him at $25. Touch on Stanton. I feel like this is a bargain, Greg.
It's very interesting because as soon as I did it, I felt dirty, like I had to go take a shower or something like that. You know, I got Altuve, and I knew I wanted power. I wanted Encarnacion, but he went for $30. Another guy went for like $28, and I just was like, wow. When Stanton came up, I just felt that $25 when everybody dropped off, that the upside was there. If I do lose a few games, geez, at $25, I think I could fill in with somebody else. So, yeah, I'm trying to win it. So Altuve, give me some steals, and Stanton, give me some power. And then I got Polanco and Carpenter who can do a lot of different things as well. So I feel like I got some speed and power on this roster.
It's not like, you know, you look at Stanton, Greg, and I know you know this, but if you look at, oh, wow, if you just look at his game log and the season long, it's like, he misses time all the time. But it just seems like freak injuries year after year.
Yeah.
It's nothing chronic, which is a good thing for sure. We only got about a minute left. Was there a surprise last night in the auction? Maybe he went too low or maybe he went too high?
Well, you know, I knew that Byron Buxton was going to get some love from people, but he really got some love. I mean, he went for $17, and, you know, his ADP is 146, so that's a high price to pay for somebody. But here's a guy that everybody saw in September, 9 home runs, seemed like he figured it out. The Twins are saying that he's going to come around this year. They're real excited by him. Well, again, our guys were very excited by him, $17 for Buxton, and then Peraza went for $15. So, again, there's another guy on the rise. People are looking for stolen bases and willing to pay for them. And we saw that in Buxton and Peraza.
We only got about 15 seconds. Are you willing to pay for stolen bases?
You know what? I like guys, like I said, like Altuve and Polanco, guys that can do power and speed. So that's what I was looking for. I didn't want any Judys on my roster.
All right. Well, Torrey Hunter a couple years ago, Greg, called Byron Buxton Mike Trout 2.0. We've yet to see that. Greg, we appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much. And good luck with this draft. You got a good team here, man.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. It's Greg Ambrosius right there. Some fantastic stuff. I'd like to thank Nick Giffen from RotoViz. Give him a follow on Twitter, RotoDoc, Daytona 500. Honestly, this guy, all he does is win cash. Don't you want to win cash? It's Friday. Have a great Sunday. Have a great Saturday. We'll see you on Monday.